This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, we're in a two series. How many of you were here last week? It'd be better to say who was not here last week. Well, see, there's not too many of you, so I don't have to totally reteach last week's. I'm teaching you from Daniel, the third chapter, and we're talking about the story of three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were believers. They were taken into captivity, and King Nebuchadnezzar made them. He took them into his kingdom. They were very wise. They were brilliant boys. They were educated, and he made them leaders, and they were doing well. All was going well. In fact, when they were first taken in, Daniel said, listen, we can't eat this food you're giving us. We're Jews. We can't eat all of this stuff that you're giving us to eat. Evidently, they were giving them pork and strange things that they weren't supposed to eat as Jews. So he said, listen, do this. Just give us vegetable soup. We'll just eat vegetable soup. And see if we don't. The guy said, we can't do that because if you're frail, I'll get in trouble with the king. Well, he said, try it. So he did it. And they were the healthiest of all of the people. They were brilliant young men. Well, it came to pass that King Nebuchadnezzar, we won't read the whole story tonight, King Nebuchadnezzar, in a fit of pride, built a great statue of gold. The statue was 6 cubits, and last week I told you how high that was. That's just ginormous. What was it, 90 feet tall or something like that? This huge gold statue. He set it up, and then he had a dedication service, and he called all of his wise men, all of the leaders, all of the mayors and the city councilmen and all of the leaders of the land. He called them together and he said, I'm going to dedicate this wonderful idol. He didn't call it an idol. He called it a statue. And he said, I'm going to sound all this music. And when the music plays, I want you to bow down and I want you to worship this golden statue. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Well, these three, I don't know where Daniel was. When we get to heaven, we're going to ask him, where were you? But they were there. They were invited, and they went to the dedication. And when all those instruments sounded, everybody fell down on their face to worship, except these three guys, three skinny Jews. They just stood there. And the king heard it. They came and they told the king, there are three Jews out there that are not bowing down. And he said, well, bring them up here. So he brought them up there and he saw who they were. And he didn't just immediately throw them into the fiery furnace because he liked them. They were smart. They had been a benefit to him. So he said, I'm going to give you another chance, fellas. I'm going to do it again. We're going to play the music and you got to bow down and worship. Now, here's the problem with that. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images, and you shall not worship them. And the one thing Israel got in trouble for from the very beginning to the very end was worshiping idols. As you read the Old Testament, if you're reading through the Old Testament with us in our 345, you will see that they get in trouble for idol worship more than anything else. God says, don't do it, don't do it. And well, these boys believed God, and they knew that they had to serve God rather than the king. So the king said, boys, I'm going to give you another chance. If you bow down and worship my idol, it's good. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they said, they gave him an answer. And their answer was found in verse 17. And it says, if that be the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, let it be known to you that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. He was so angry. The Bible says that he increased the heat in that fiery furnace 7 times. It was so hot. He said, bind those guys. They tied them up, clothes and all. They bound them tightly. He said, bind them and throw them in. And that furnace was so hot that the guys that threw them in the furnace died. That's pretty hot, isn't it? Well, with that, we got to our first furnace fact. And that was, everybody has furnaces. I'm not going to get into these. I'm just going to go over the first five. You might still be able to get a CD from last week if you weren't here. There might be one or two up there. But the first fact is everybody has furnace situations. We all have problems. If you live long enough, you'll find yourself in a difficult situation. That's the first thing. Don't think that you're the only one who ever had a problem. Everybody has problems. Here's a second one. You're not in this furnace because you're a bad person. That is so important. These guys didn't do anything wrong. They got thrown in the fiery furnace because they did the right thing. Did you know sometimes bad things happen to good people? So that's the second one. Here's the third one. This is one of my favorite ones. God does not build furnaces, neither does he throw you in them. Whatever's happening to you, don't get God mixed up with the devil. John 10:10 says, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There are three sources. There probably are more than three, but basically three sources of furnaces. In the case of these guys, the furnace was built by an evil king, and an evil king threw them in. Much of what happens to us, much of the problem that comes into our life is a result of people, evil people, people who wish us harm, people who do bad things to us. But sometimes people we love hurt us. People that are not evil people hurt us and cause difficulty, but it isn't God. That's the first one. Here's the second one. Did you know the devil has a job description? I gave it to you just a minute ago. Kill, steal, and destroy. So a lot of times the bad things that happen to you are the devil attacking you. You just need to understand that. And don't say, oh, God is trying to teach me something. Well, yes, God will teach you something. But he didn't build that furnace and he didn't throw you in it. The devil did. The sooner you find that out, the sooner you'll rise up and drive the devil off. And here's the third one. Almost every furnace in my life, this is where it came from. Most of our furnaces, we build them ourselves. And then we jump in. And then we cry out for help. Thank God. God hears us and delivers us. That's number three. Here's number four. Your furnace will reveal your confidence in God or your lack thereof. Let something really bad happen to you, and you'll find out just how much you believe in God. It'll either drive you to God or it'll push you away from God. Don't let it push you away from God. You don't have any deliverance when you pull away from God. Deliverance is when you go toward God. And the last one that we talked about last week, number five, you're not alone in your furnace. You're not alone in your furnace. Oops, I went too far. I just want number six. Okay, so I'm ready for number six. Are you ready for number six? Got your little card out so you can take some notes? Here's furnace fact number six, and it's found in Daniel 3:24. You can experience deliverance in your furnace. Listen to this, Daniel 3:24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, and he said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire? They answered, yes, King, true, we did that. He said, look, I see four men, they're loose. They're walking around in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Wow. Think about that. So what happened to these guys? I think when they were thrown in this furnace, without a doubt, I'm sure they expected to die. Now, they expected to meet God because they believed in the resurrection. And I believe that if I dropped dead right now, if I fell over in this floor dead, my spirit would leave my body immediately and I would go into the presence of God. I believe that with all of my heart. But they really, that's what they expected. They didn't expect what happened. They were thrown in that furnace, landed on their knees or their face or wherever they landed. And they looked up and they look at each other. Hey, you're not dead. Or maybe they said, are we dead? I don't feel dead. Are you hot? I don't feel hot. Look, our ropes are burning. Look at our ropes. Our ropes are burning off, but our clothes aren't burning. This is really weird. And then they look around, and somebody's with them. And it's Jesus. Jesus was with them. But they got free in that furnace. Now, it's difficult to realize that bad situations can bring positive results in your life. But it's true. It's really true. In my life, God, you know, I know God didn't build the furnaces I've gone through, but in every furnace I've gone through, I have gained something in it. Yokes have been destroyed. I've been set free. I found new compassion. When I went through, before I had cancer, I prayed for a lot of people. I saw a lot of people healed, but I didn't have a lot of compassion. I just said, just believe God, he'll heal you. You know, I thought, good grief, just believe God, he'll heal you. Then I had cancer. And it wasn't as easy as that. I had to learn to believe God in that situation. And I came through that and I learned deeper faith. And I learned to have compassion for other people. Did God put cancer on me? Heavens, no. It was the devil. But did I learn something? Absolutely. Did I get free? Was I delivered? Yes, I was delivered. I was set free in my furnace. And you also, you may be in a terrible situation, but look for God to set you free. As you face furnaces in your life, begin to look for positive possibilities. It's easy to see the negative. We're surrounded by negative. It's not so easy to see the positive. Ask God to begin to show you. Did you know that gold is purified by fire? And the Bible says that we will, when we've gone through fiery trials, we will come forth as pure gold. He will burn off all the junk, and we will come forth as pure gold. I don't know about you. I'd like to get rid of all the junk in my life. I would love to not have to repent as much as I have to repent. And I know you would like to not have to repent as much as you have to repent. And God is working in our lives. So that's number six. Are you ready for number seven? Furnace fact number seven. Your furnace will change you. I don't believe these young men were ever the same. I'm telling you, when you have an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter with Jesus, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Every crisis in your life will change you. It will make you better, stronger, more compassionate. Or if you don't turn toward the Lord, it could make you bitter, negative, and angry. I won't ask if there's anybody in this audience tonight that's bitter and angry and has the negative effect. If it's you, well, this is the night you change it. This is the night you change it. Notice that there's always a negative and a positive possibility to every situation that you face. James 1, 2, and 3 says this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, lacking nothing. There's a little word called joy in that verse that I want to talk to you about your furnace, because your furnace will change you. Joy is not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion, but joy is not an emotion. Joy will cause emotion. But actually, the Greek word for joy means to see beyond. And if you look at the scripture in Hebrews 12, 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. If you look at that and you think about that little word joy, the joy was before him. And because he could see the joy, he could look beyond the cross. He could see the result of the cross. He was able to get through the cross. In every situation, if you will let God give you joy, the promise beyond, you will be able to get through any situation and come out on the other side with victory. And it will increase your patience, and it will increase your faith. Now, you may ask, how do I make the right decisions when handling a problem? So I'm going to give you some real practical things, not wooey-wooey spiritual things. These are practical things. When you're facing a problem, when you're facing a furnace, here's some things. Number one, don't underestimate your problem, but also don't underestimate your power to cope with it creatively. You and the Holy Spirit can overcome anything. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your God will strengthen you and help you. You will not be overcome. You are an overcomer. The Bible calls you an overcomer. So when you look at a situation, don't stick your head in the dirt like an ostrich and say, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Yeah, you may have a problem. Your problem may be denial. So don't underestimate your problem, but also don't underestimate the power of God in you to cope with that problem. Here's the next one. Don't exaggerate your problem. When I have a problem, this is what I do. I consider what is the worst thing that could happen as a result of this. Now, I really learned this the hard way. I was going through something, and the Lord asked me that question. What is the worst outcome that this could have? And I figured that out. And then he asked me this question. Could I handle that? Can God handle it? Whatever that worst outcome is, can God handle it? Can God give you power to overcome it? Yes, the answer is yes. So play your problem down and pray it up. Instead of magnifying the problem, magnify God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Whatever you're facing, look up and let God become very big, and whatever you're facing will become smaller in the light of his glory. Number three, don't delay in taking action. Don't procrastinate when it comes to your problems. You must, if you neglect taking action, nothing may change. You need to take, this is a natural thing, this is not a spiritual thing, but there's a time to wait on the Lord. But after you've done, the Bible says, after you've done all to stand, after you've waited as long as you stand, first you do what you can do, and then you wait for God to do what you cannot do. So don't delay to take action. Here's the next one. Do not aggravate your problem through self-pity, jealousy, cynicism, anger, or lack of positive faith. All those emotions, they don't do anything for you. All they do is block your faith. When those things try to come up, cast down those things. Pull them out of your mind, and that's the next one. Control your mind. Control your mind. Grab hold of those negative thoughts. Pull them down. Replace them with the Word of God. Don't allow yourself to get into that. And you know, it's easy for me to tell you this when I'm standing here and I don't appear to have any problems. But when you're in the midst of a horrible, horrible situation, I remember I was diagnosed with cancer on a Tuesday. I had surgery on a Friday. On Wednesday, I got up to go teach my Bible study, and I was so weak I couldn't go. And I laid down on the couch, and I cried out to the Lord. And I understand this, but I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I can't even pray. Help me. I cannot pray. And he gave me instruction in that day. He said, go get the Word. That was in the days of cassettes. It was in 1984. I had the Bible on cassette. Go get the Bible and listen to it. Christy was a little bitty thing. She was just a little girl. And I said, honey, go in my study and get me one of those Bible tapes and bring it in here with a tape recorder. And she brought her little Fisher-Price tape recorder in. And she couldn't read. But she brought me a tape. How did she know which tape to get? She didn't, but the Holy Ghost did. And I put that tape in and I turned it on, and a deep sleep fell over me. And I woke up when it clicked off. I turned it over. I punched the button for it to start on the other side. I fell asleep again. When I woke up the second time, I was not afraid and I was not weak. I needed the Word. I needed the entrance. Even though I was asleep, he put my mind to sleep so the Word could go directly into my spirit. God knows how to reach you. And I got to tell you, there were times in my journey to healing that I did face fear again, but never the terror of death. That morning, I faced the terror of death. And that morning, I overcame it by controlling my mind. He put my mind to sleep so my spirit could hear. Now, you know, you do need to identify your problem. A lot of times we think a certain thing is our problem, and it's just a symptom. You got to distinguish between what's a symptom and what's a problem. You may say, my problem is a certain kind of addiction. Well, what caused that addiction? If you want to get free, you got to go back to the source and find out what caused it. So identify the true problem. Once you identify the problem, then begin to search the scripture for a promise that matches your problem. There is a promise for every problem in the Word of God. And if you can't find it yourself, there are people here at the Ark that can help you find it. We'll help you find the scripture that goes with your problem. And then insulate yourself against negative people. I'm telling you, you can't escape negative people. But don't let negative people feed negative information to you when you're trying to overcome. I'm going to close this little furnace fact with a personal story. I love steps of action. I'm an exhorter, so I like to tell you, do 1, 2, 3, and everything will be fine. And that's the kind of person I am. They're very important to me. But one time, some years ago, I had a problem. It was a major, major problem. And I had prayed, and I had sought God, and I just could not find the, I had found the source of the problem. I had identified the problem. I'd looked for action steps. I'd done all those things I just told you to do, and I was no closer to a solution. I was desperate. And one night in prayer, the Lord quickened a scripture to me. Exodus 14:14. It's not going to go up on the board, but you might want to write it down to look it up. It's something God said to Israel. This is what it says. I will fight for you, and you will hold your peace and be at rest. Now, I got to tell you, that's not what I was looking for. I wanted God to tell me what to do. And he said, no, I will fight for you. You will hold your peace. You know what it means to hold your peace? It means to shut up. It can also mean to hold on to your peace of mind. But he was really telling me, don't do anything. I was really upset. I'm a woman of action. I needed to do something. In fact, I said to the Lord, if I don't do anything, everybody will say I'm foolish. And I will be foolish. So then he let me read the verse before it. It's always a good thing to read the verse before it. The verse before it says this, tell the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy that has come against you today, you will never see again. No, not forever. For I'm going to fight for you, and you will just hold your peace and be at rest. Well, that gave me something to do. I like that. I could do that. I had to step beyond fear. I had to fear not. Then I had to take a stand still, and I had to look beyond that problem to the power of God. I could do that. Well, you say, did it work? It worked. God delivered that completely out of that situation. He turned it around. And in that, I will never be the same. Several things happened as a result of that time and that instruction that the Lord gave me, that furnace time. Here's the first thing. I have always been a woman of prayer. I've always believed in prayer. But I learned the real power of prayer during that time because there was nothing I could do but pray. And I prayed and I saw God answer. And it made me intensify my prayer life. Here's the second thing. I've always trusted God. Since I was a little girl, I was taught to trust God. But I had to completely trust Him. I had to be quiet, be still, and just trust God. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging you. I know you're going to direct my path. I learned to trust Him in a deeper dimension. And finally, I've always been a woman who had confidence in my faith. But from that day, I no longer just have confidence in my faith. I have confidence in the God of my faith. See, you can be, I have faith. But is your faith in your faith? Or is your faith in the God of your faith? Make sure it's in the God of your faith. Here's the eighth one. I got to hurry or I won't get through. But the rest of them aren't as long as those two. Number eight. This is good. Some of you need to hear this. Your furnace will not destroy you. You're not going to die in the furnace. As I recall the furnaces of my life, it seemed in every one that there was no way out and some part of my life would be destroyed. But I can announce to you that nothing has been destroyed. The Lord has delivered me from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all. Say that. The Lord will deliver me out of them all. Say it again. The Lord will deliver me out of them all. You're not going to die. You're coming out. It's very important that you realize God always looks ahead and makes a provision for you. He always does. When things look difficult, remember, God has already looked ahead. This may have taken you by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. He's already looked ahead. Only you can make the choice to live and not die. Israel was given that. In Deuteronomy 30:19, God gave Israel that challenge. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you. I have set before you life and death. Now choose life. Choose life. That you and your descendants may live. So you're not going to die. You're not going to, you know, I don't know why I'm talking so much about my experience with cancer tonight. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. The day that I was diagnosed, it was a Tuesday. They took me in and they did a particular type of x-ray that showed the tumor. And when it came, and I was watching the x-ray screen. And when it came up, I said to the technician, oh, that's a tumor. He said, oh, it could be anything. It could be. I said, it's a tumor. Look, it's a tumor. And he rushed out and called my doctor. He said, she's seen it and she knows what it is. And they rolled me out in the hall to wait for my doctor. And while I was in the hall, and it was in my colon area, when I was in the hall, my aunt, the first mentor of my life, died of cancer of the colon. While I was laying on this gurney in the hall, it was so loud, it sounded audible to me. The devil said to me, I killed Lorena Robertson with cancer of the colon, and I'm going to kill you too. It made me mad. I didn't say, oh, no. I said, oh, no, you. I said it out loud. Oh, no, you won't, devil, because I'm not going to die. And I didn't. See, you got to make up your mind. I'm not going to die. This furnace is not going to kill me. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I win. And when the smoke is cleared and the battle's over, I'm still going to be on my feet. See, you got to make up your mind. Make up your mind. This furnace will not destroy you. Furnace fact number 9. I like this one. Your furnace will end. Listen to Daniel 3, 26 and 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Changed his tune, didn't he? Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Now, they may have been a little reluctant to come out. If I was standing there with Jesus and I wasn't hurt, I might be a little reluctant to come out. And notice he didn't ask Jesus to come out. just threw that in. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men. Now listen. Their bodies, the fire had no power over their bodies. The hair on their head was not singed. Anybody ever got your head singed because you got too close to the fire? Well, they were in the fire, and their hair was not singed. Their garments were not affected, and they did not even smell like smoke. Think about it. Think about it. You know, I love the words in the Bible. Read them real often. It came to pass. You ever read that in the Bible? And it came to pass. I like that phrase. Didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Whatever's happening to you, it came to pass. You need to know, don't build a house in your furnace. Don't settle down in your furnace. I know people who have actually, they've settled down in their furnace. They're not looking to come out. They're just, don't do that. Absolutely don't do that. Make up your mind, you're coming out. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says this, our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, but they will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we're not going to look at these troubles we can see now, but we're going to fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now are temporary, and one translation says, and subject to change. Temporary and will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Your furnace will end. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Your furnace will end. Don't accept what you're going through now as your final outcome. You're on a journey, and the journey is not going to end till you win. You got to know that. Here's the last one. Are you ready? There's a promotion after the furnace. Ha ha, I like this one. There's a promotion after the furnace. Daniel 3, 28 through 30. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they frustrated the king's word, and they yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. I mean, he was serious. Shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there's no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Those verses indicate two wonderful possible outcomes when you look at your furnace through the eyes of God. When you come out of that thing, number one, God will receive glory. Whatever you're going through, God's going to get glory from it if you allow him to. He's going to seem as great and mighty as he really is. And secondly, you will be promoted. You know, the Bible is full of people who have gone through horrible things, and after it was over, they got promotion. Think of Job. The Bible says he received twice as much as he had before. David was in exile for years, chased by Saul, but that ended, and he became the king of Israel. And on and on and on. Even naturally, we can apply this to our lives. Our situations end. Every problem has a limited lifespan. Afterward, expect the promotion. It's coming from God. Did that bless you? Stay with me for just a minute. I want to pray over some of you that are going through situations. But before I do that, you may be here tonight and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. We don't want you to leave here without knowing this mighty God, this great deliverer, this wonderful God who loves us, who sent his son Jesus to die for us. I don't want you to leave here without knowing him. So we're going to bow our heads, and while our heads are bowed, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you would like to tonight, slip your hand in the air so we can pray with you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. You may say, I know that I've received Jesus, but I'm away from him, and I need to rededicate my life tonight. Is that you? All over the audience. Let me see. Is that you? Okay, we're going to pray a prayer. Pray this with us. Isn't it amazing that this simple prayer can seal an eternity with God? Isn't that wonderful? He didn't make it difficult. He made it easy. So let's pray together. Pray, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, if you prayed that prayer, there's a little card little thing in front of you, a little yes card. It's a little yellow card. If you'll fill that card out, or you can just text the word changed to 313131, and we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you every week for a whole year that the Lord will help you. Now, before I let you go tonight, I want to specially pray for some of you who may find yourself and you think right now I'm in a furnace and I need some help. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. You don't have to come up here, but I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray over you and ask the Lord to help you. Yeah, I knew the Lord wouldn't have inspired me to teach this unless there were some folks going through a furnace. So just bow your head and let me pray over you. Father, you see every person standing. And you know exactly what they're going through. You know the situations of life that they're facing. But God, I thank you, my Father, that you are greater than any situation that we could face. So we agree together. You said if any two believers would agree touching anything we would ask, you would do it for us. And there are many more than two of us here. So everybody in this room agrees together that we prayed. And you said in your word, the day you pray, the tide of the battle will turn. So I thank you, Lord, that tonight the tide of the battle turns in the lives of every person standing right now. And that you will show them exactly the path they need to walk out of that furnace and into promotion. I speak to you, devil, and I say, take your hands off of God's property. It is unlawful for you to attack God's property. I command healing, restoration, freedom, and prosperity to every person in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.